from the House of Representatives, January 19, 2011. Third reading passed, amended. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill 18, Quarantine of Animals. Ayes 59, excused 1. House Bill 108, Collection Agencies. Ayes 35, noes 24, excused 1. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Introduction, reading, and reference of bills. Senate File 116, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 116, Oil and Gas Enhanced Recovery Microbial Conversions, sponsored by Senator Jennings.
Senate File 116 has been assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 118, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 118, Career and Technical Training Grants, an act relating to labor and employment, sponsored by Senator Hastert.
Senate File 118 has been assigned to Committee Number 10, Labor. Reports from standing committees.
January the 19th, 2011, Mr. President, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 17, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Perkins, Senator Perkins, Chairman. January the 19th, 2011, Mr. President, your Committee Number 5, Agricultural State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 10, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Bebout, Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, and Hicks, Senator Geis, Chairman. January the 19th, 2011, Mr. President, your Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 100, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Bebout, Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis and Hicks, Senator Geis, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, did you have an announcement? Go ahead.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Members of the Senate, this is an announcement to you that Kay Warnock, Wyoming's liaison from the National Council of State Legislatures, will be in the Senate lobby throughout the afternoon to visit with members about NCSL's services. If you have any question about NCSL's services or requests for information, Ms. Warnock would be happy to visit with you as time allows this afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Senator Geist, would you like the floor?
Mr. President, Senate File 100, Cruelty to Animals, has an appropriation on it and need to be re-referred to the Committee Number 2.
Senate File 100 has been requested to be re-referred to Committee Number 2. Seeing no objection, so be ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, before I make the appropriate motion, just a heads up, we have five bills left on Committee of the Whole today. It is my intent to get through those bills today, if at all possible. So with that in mind, keep your comments succinct, and hopefully we can move through these bills. With that, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself back into Committee of the Whole.
Thank you. You heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Senators, before we go back into the committee of the whole, I'd simply say that we are taking testimony on a very critical bill in education today. And given the weather, there's been a lot of folks traveled that would like to finish their testimony today so they can return home. So, therefore, the Education Committee is going to be off the floor for a little bit taking testimony. In Senator Rothfuss' absence, Senator Cooper will then be taking the chair for the Committee of the Whole. Having said that, Senator Cooper, would you come to the chair, please?
Will the Committee of the Whole please come to order? The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 27, and I do believe it has an amendment. Oops.
There we go. It was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Dockstader, Driscoll, and Escobel. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 27, Paramutual Commission Amendments. There is a standing committee amendment that I would ask be read in.
Would the reading clerk read it in?
Senate File 27, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1 to line 16.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Standing Committee Amendment, and for a further explanation of the bill and the amendment, I would ask that you call on Senator Escobel.
Senator Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'll certainly try to be brief. Senate File 27. This is an act relating to the Paramutual Commission, limiting licensing of employees to those participating in paramutual wagering activities, increasing fining authority of stewards, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, the primary goals of the Paramutual Commission are the protection of the wagering public and the health, safety, and welfare of the participants in the events, both human and equine. The Commission strives to achieve those goals through an ongoing effort to improve the quality and integrity of Wyoming paramutual events. This includes investigation of applicants for permits to conduct paramutual events as well as applicants for license to participate in these events. The Paramutual Commission operates from 100% augmented revenue and is totally self-supporting. Mr. Chairman, the Paramutual Commission regulates a very complicated industry which crosses many state lines. Participants can be 1 week in Wyoming and the next in New York or California. As a regulatory agency, the Wyoming Paramutual Commission is dedicated to maintaining the quality and integrity of these events. Senate File 27 has two components. The first part provides clarity in regards to who is required for licensing, and at the same time provides some affordability to the operators. Under current statutes, all employees are required to be licensed. With this clarification, the hot dog vendor, parking attendant, and some of those other employees could be excluded from that process as long as he or she is not accessing or involved in the paramutual activities themselves. This would lower the cost to the operators because those type of individuals would not have to be licensed. And you'll find that at the bottom of page 1, line 15, 16, and the top of page 1 and page 2, line 1 and line 2. The amendment that was read in includes the word horse racing, and that was to further clarify who we're talking about in terms of who can be licensed. Make sure that it's those individuals that are directly affected with the activity itself. The second part at the bottom of page 2, line 18, increases the fining authority of the officials on location and paramutual events from $200 to $1,000. By doing so, it allows the officials to handle more infractions, such as riding penalties, jockey hitting another jockey, or things of that nature, violation of rules, and this can be done at the locations before the licensee has left town. Additionally, this would reduce the fines and penalties being referred to the commission for review at later dates. For violation of larger magnitude, which for the most part are usually drug-related or require additional investigation, those cases are referred to the commission. At the commission level, the commission has the authority to access a maximum fine or penalty of $10,000. All fines and penalties, once paid, are forwarded to the local school district where the infraction occurred. For your information, in 2009, the commission accessed 10 fines, and in 2008, accessed 19 fines. The effect of these amendments, Mr. Chairman, is that it would actually decrease the revenue to the commission because you wouldn't be licensing as many employees, and some of those employees, as mentioned previously, the hot dog vendor, the parking attendant, they're not directly involved with the activity itself, so those individuals wouldn't have to be licensed, and this bill addresses that situation. And it also addresses the situation of the fines, because as it stands right now, this $200 limitation that is in the present bill is one of the lowest in the 38 racing jurisdictions. So hopefully you would look favorably upon these changes in terms of the licensing and in terms of increasing the fines. So with that, Mr. Chairman, if there are any questions, I would hope to answer them. If I can't answer them, I'm sure my chairman of the committee would be able to assist me in that regard.
And Senator Esquivel, how do you desire to cover the amendment? Do you want to discuss that?
Well, I thought I did, Mr. Chairman, but the amendment adds horse racing to page 1. Okay. Now, let me get my amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Esquivel, would you just like to call for the question on that, or do you want to go
for it? I call for the question on the amendment.
Okay. Question's been called on the amendment. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 27, please say aye.
Aye.
The opposed, say no. The Standing Committee Amendment has been adopted. Okay, we're back on the bill. Now, is there any further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those not in favor, say no. Thank you. The Senate File 27 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Okay, next bill for our consideration then is Senate File 31. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
There we go. Senate File 31, Off-Road Vehicle Definition, an act relating to motor vehicles, sponsored by the Travel Committee.
You heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
I've got the...
It
was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Dockstader, Driscoll, and Esquivel, Senator Burns, Chairman.
Now you've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Burns?
I'll get it. Just a minute. Gotcha.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 31, Off-Road Vehicle Definition, There are no standing committee amendments, and for a further explanation of the bill, I ask that you call on the good senator from Star Valley.
Okay. Senator Dockstader. Thank you. Find you here a minute. Okay.
31 off-road vehicle definition. It simply updates the definitions to 31-101, and in particular, it addresses the Type 1 off-road recreational vehicle, four-wheelers as we commonly call them. Statute needs to be updated because there's been a lot of changes in the product over the last few years, especially in the last 3 or 4 years in particular. We've got these new side-by-side OHVs and ATVs, or four-wheelers, as I mentioned. Now, what we need to do, though, is make a change to ensure that these are acceptable on our state trails. So the meat of the bill is on page 2, lines 9 through 16. What that does is it changes the unladen weight from 900 pounds to 1,100 pounds, 1,100 pounds. Most importantly, it takes out some older language that originated back in the 80s and 90s. It takes out the descriptors such as the tire width, the PSI, the seating configuration, and wheel and rim size. You notice what we're taking out there, things like on a seat and a saddle, those types of things, three wheels. Much has changed, obviously, in this industry. We heard testimony over the interim that there was a lot of support from it, not only from people around the state, but our state trails director was in support of this change as well. And what this does is allow the machines that are 50 inches wide or less to be approved. The seating configuration now, side by side, 50 inches or less for the wheelbase, the width of the wheels. And what we're seeing is just more and more of these types of vehicles being used. I happen to notice when I went to leave town to come over here, he does a mix, our particular dealer does a mixture of snowmobiles and these vehicles because people tend to even ride them. They put windshields on them, use them through the winter to run around town and put little plate and turn signals on them. And speaking with him, that's the popular vehicle now to get these side-by-side units. People of all ages can use them. Some of the older generation can use them. I happen to have a friend that lost a leg in an accident. That's his answer to get out and enjoy an ATV, these side-by-side units. So, in summary, we're just updating the definition, changing the existing language because it was outdated. Change comes with the width and the weight. And in the interim, we received a positive support from our state trails people, those in the industry, and people who ride these things. And people are turning more and more to these side-by-side units, and we're simply adjusting to the change that's out there. While it's in, speaking of those in the industry, it's about an even sale now between the old traditional ATVs and these side-by-side units. I would anticipate these side-by-side units becoming a much more popular unit in coming years. I think that's it. Ask for your favorable consideration.
Thank you, Senator Dockstader. Is there any further discussion? Senator Scott.
As soon as I find you here.
Discussion has been in terms of the recreational use of these outfits, and that's primarily what happens. My question is in regards to the agricultural use, and frankly, I use them that way. That's what I spend my time doing. They're an ideal way to transport one or two people and an irrigating shovel out to the fields and back. Is the current arrangements for agricultural use in any way affected by this particular piece of legislation?
Oops. Senator Burns?
Mr. Chairman, no. In no way is it used. The what the good senator wants to do with his shovel in the privacy of his own home is his business. This bill primarily affects state trails.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, sometimes it gets deep enough down here, I'm going to have to bring it down.
Okay. Any other?
Am I correct? You know, we sometimes have to run out on the highway, run out on the county road, and things like that, Mr. Chairman. That isn't at all affected by this, is it?
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, there's already an agricultural exemption for these vehicles on the roads. This deals only with state trails. There are different classes of ATVs, and this is within that one class. And the state trails themselves are not designed for anything larger than a 50-inch width on them, and the current statute allows for a lower weight. The weight, frankly, for the, as far as the trails are concerned, doesn't make any difference. But in answer to the good senator's question, no, it doesn't affect agricultural use at all.
Senator, hold it. Senator Bebot.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just further clarification of the chairman of the Travel and Rec Committee. What about federal trails? Sometimes you will go from a state trail to a federal trail. I'm assuming they're treated similar. This will not have an impact in that regard, correct?
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, no, it won't. The gist of the federal trail limitation is the width. I don't think this affects their weight at all. And it's that 50-inch thing, that, which is national, except for some reason, western Black Hills of South Dakota, that Black Hills National Forest, they have an exemption, and it's 60 inches there. It's the only place in the nation that allows it. That's actually a pretty useless fact, but I had it, and so I figured I'd use it.
Is there any further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Dockstader's motion that when, I think it was our Senator Burns, rather, his motion that when the committee whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 31, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Okay, bill, the Senate File 31 has passed the committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 41.
Senate File 41, Film Industry Financial Incentives Program, and Act Relating to Travel and Tourism, sponsored by the Travel Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Driscoll, and Esquivel. No, Senator Dockstader, Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Burns?
Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 41, Film Industry Financial Incentives Program, or FIFI for short. There are no standing committee amendments, and to give a further explanation of the bill, I ask that you call on the winner of the Natrona County Don Quixote look-alike contest.
And who might that be? Senator Jennings, as soon as I find you here. I got you. Okay. Go ahead, Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just think about how many of us get to get up here and present a bill affectionately known as FIFI. When this idea first came to us back in 2007, I was dead set against it. I got stood right here and begged everybody to vote no on it, and obviously I wasn't very persuasive because it passed. But as it passed and it went in and started working, it's turned out to be a pretty successful little program. And basically what we do with FIFI is if somebody wants to come to Wyoming and do some kind of filming, then we have an incentive to bring them in. And we have a range of that incentive, or actually incentive or money that we give them for coming here, and it ranges from 12 to 15%. So if they come to Wyoming and you just take pictures of Wyoming or you do your film or documentary in Wyoming and you don't mention Wyoming, kind of like Starship or Starship Troopers that they did in Casper, that was on another planet out at Hell's Half Acre, but it didn't say anything about Wyoming, so they would have been eligible for the 12%. But my friend Flicka, that was supposed to be Wyoming. They talked about Wyoming, so they got the 15%. If you what it is, it's all the money that they spend in Wyoming starts to count. They have to have the receipts. They have to turn them in. Wyoming Office of Tourism has to go through them. They have to develop a contract that's approved by the Attorney General. I mean, it's got a pretty good sound way of going through and looking at everything to verify that the money was spent. It develops jobs, but not only that, but it's starting to develop some curriculum in our community colleges. We had testimony from the college over in Riverton. because of their association with the public broadcasting, now they're starting to do a little bit more filming and a little bit more cameras and a little bit more there. So there's actually students coming out of the college over there that are prepared to go into the film industry and back them up. And so while they're in school, there could be a film come in and actually those students could go out and work on that film. Whatever wages they make would count against the amount, the minimum $200,000 spent in Wyoming for their refund. Now, as we, and there's a little handout that just was placed on your desk or in your box. As we go down through that you'll see that to date, there's been about $2 million spent on films and qualifying projects in Wyoming. We, out of the FIFI program, we put a little over $500,000 in there. So when you figure the $500,000 versus the $2 million, that's about a 400% return on the investment. Again, that's spread out across the economy. They may have needed to rent a crane or a forklift. They may have needed to hire some people. So it's everything that they spend in Wyoming. You can look at the breakdown there on the handout that we appropriated $1.8 million to the program. They've used about $554,000. So they have a remaining balance of about $1.2 million. What I'd like to do now is take you to the bill. And really, this is pretty simple on the bill. There's two things that we're trying to accomplish with the bill. The first thing is that we had a sunset on the program. And I was strongly in favor of that sunset when we started the program, put it on there. The program's worked along. It's completed the projects in the way that they said that they would. The contracts have all, gone through the Attorney General's office just like they said they would. So everything seems to be working. So at this point, what we would like to do is, this is not one of those great big money projects. They have their money, and if they use the money that they have now, they'll have to come back through the appropriation process. It's not anything that's affecting the general economy of the state. So we feel that probably the best thing for this is to take the sunset off, make them go through the regular appropriations. The other thing that we're asking in this is to do is, in the appropriation process, anything that they didn't use in the budget would automatically go back into the fund. What they're asking to do is let that ride. And the reason that they're asking to let that ride is they're looking at some fairly big projects that they could entice to come to Wyoming. And if they don't have the money in the account, they can't bring them in. They'll have to wait till the next session and come in and ask us the money. By that time, the opportunity may be over. Well, most likely would be over. So what they're asking us to do is let those funds ride rather than revert so that they'll be able to do those big projects. And members of the 61st, that's the FIFI program in a nutshell, and I'd stand for any questions.
Any further questions or discussion on the bill? Senator Case. Or Senator Von Flatern, I guess. He said none. Let's see if I find you here, Mike.
Mr. Chairman, somehow I don't think the names are really close, but I can understand that confusion. I was on the original TRW committee when we did do this bill, and how it was presented to us was really big productions would come in. And it is true, if you film a film is made here, and Wyoming is splashed across it, either in town names or even that little credit at the end of the film where it says filmed in Wyoming. It does it. It's equal to millions of dollars in advertising that we would have spent. While we're still spending millions of dollars in advertising, this program was too small. It needed to be in the $50 to $75 million tax credit that size, that realm of reimbursement to compete with 40 other states. So the program should have been aimed, in my opinion, and what this bill is trying to do is continue it, but it is not altering it, modifying it, in the manner that would create a community college program create a training program for grips, cameramen, film editors. Right now we give, well, I guess it's 15%. Companies up to 15% on dollars spent in the state of Wyoming. Of course, capped by the 1.2 balance they have left, 1.2 million. So it's a very tiny, if you're going to spend several million dollars, if you're going to spend $100 million or $50 million filming a major motion picture, and you're going to get this whole amount, 1.2 million, that's not a big difference on your bottom line. Add to the fact that you had to transport in everybody. Wyoming does not have the equipment, doesn't have the rental equipment sitting down the street or even 200 miles away. You're talking Denver, minimally, Los Angeles, possibly, and Chicago or, well, Albuquerque, New Mexico. We're trying to compete with New Mexico on this. This either needs to be a huge program and aimed at the film companies themselves, or it needs to be a lot, or probably about this amount of money, but aimed at creating crafts, creating the people here in this state that can supply the film companies. Didn't like the bill 5 years ago, almost 4 years ago. As you can see, we keep lowering the bar. It used to be you had to spend a minimum of $600,000. Now you can spend a minimum of $200,000 to qualify. Ad companies were added. Originally, it was film companies. We've installed ad companies. We're trying to give this money away, and we're having trouble doing it. 25% has been spent in 4 years. It's not a great bill.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's hard to get on board and be the last one up, too. It's kind of going to be tricky. Mr. Chairman, I guess I rise against this bill. I note that in the if you do an internet search and you look at something, just put in something like state film incentives, and you'll find that these have been tried around the country and that their success has been questioned. And the one that comes up first when I search is a report from Madison, Wisconsin that says film incentives not worth the cost. And I can print this for you, or you can just pull it up yourself. And this is a program in a different state, obviously. But the conclusion was that the incentives cost 20 times more per job created than the average program run by the department, and are 75 times less creative at creating jobs than the next least effective program. So, I mean, I guess I get the crux of this is, are we creating any jobs? Are we doing anything good with this? Has anybody done a study of the actual economic impacts? I mean, to spend, what did they say? We spent $500,000. Program results inception to date, growing local economies. Total Wyoming expenditures from fee projects came in at just over $2 million from a $500,000 investment. Does that mean that we gave them $500,000 and in the end they spent $2 million? That doesn't sound like a very good return. I mean, usually, if we went to one of our mineral companies and said, well, we'll buy the first 25% of the coal if you'll buy three more tons. We're not going to get anywhere at that, or four more times. So I'm not sure that these numbers equate that this is doing us any good. Now, I know the advertising is priceless. It seems like the last big movie that was made in Wyoming that caused quite a splash was some movie that had mountain in the title, and it seemed like that caused more people to get upset than anything, although that featured a small town in Fremont County. So I'm not sure that you always like the advertising you get. It's kind of a free speech world. Should the government even be doing this, Mr. Chairman? I really got to ask, why are we doing this?
Oops. Senator Dockstetter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was a consistent no vote throughout the summer, and just recently on the committee, you noticed the single no vote there. I came down here with the idea that we were going to do things like build roads and
some water systems, give people a clean drink of water, make sure they got a good road to drive on, good place to send their kids to school. Then I found out we're making movies, too. But I find out we do a lot of different things, too. But that's why I was having trouble with it. A spinoff of the good senator from Fremont County. Should the government be doing this? We got to take a hard, close look at this, because this is something that moves it out of the basics of government for our state. Then I struggled even more when I found out I liked the idea of the education part. It has promise. But I found out most of those programs, outside of the broadcasting program in Riverton that's been going on for quite some time, the actual film programs are somewhat in their infancy. And they're really not progressing far enough along to tie in with this. They may to some extent. So that really didn't help. And then when we pulled the sunset off, and I know they have to go back to the appropriations and apply that way, but when the sunset was pulled off, that moved one more part of the screening process out of the way. Made it a little more easier to go after the public's money. And I wasn't comfortable with that. I felt comfortable having that in there to say, no, there's one more time when we have to come to a point and say, do we really want to have this program? And that was removed as well. So when you look at it, you know, it just, is this an area that we should really be involved with when you look at the return on the dollar and all that goes with it? I was consistently no, will remain no here on the floor as well.
Senator Bebop.
Mr. Chairman, just a few other questions, too, before the for the responser to respond to. First of all, when you talk about the $2 million return, and then you talk about $1 million for wages, is the $1 million included in the $2 million, or are they two separate things? Because you talk about $1 million in wages as being spent, but yet you say $2 million for total of purchase of goods slash services. So I want to be sure we're not double counting that. And the other thing I'd like to see, how it relates to the Wyoming Business Council in terms of other projects we have that we invest our state dollars in return of jobs, and how that rates in their ranking system. And they have a system out there that shows us how well we are doing or not doing in some of our programs. I wondered if you had any discussion about that.
Senator Jennings.
Let me start here and work backwards. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the $2 million spent was $2 million total. So there were some wages in there. There were some products in there. So it wasn't broken out as, you know, what each piece of the $2 million was. So there was $2 million spent out of the in Wyoming for other, you know, anything. And on these several projects, it wasn't one project. It was several projects. There was a total of $500,000 returned in the rebates. To my colleague back there from Fremont County, when you look at other programs around the country, and I did the same thing, I looked on the internet and I found some of these, and most of these other programs really put the emphasis on creating jobs, and that's why there was millions of dollars put in there instead of just, you know, under $2 million on ours, and, you know, like $10 or $20 million on some of these, and some of those big programs haven't worked. They, for whatever reason, the way they were structured, the return on their investment hasn't been what it should be. But this little program here, what it's been doing, because it's aimed at the broad spectrum of money spent, not just at, it's not a job creator, it's a revenue creator. It brings this money from out of state into the state, and it's worked. To respond, to whether we should be, government should be doing this, that was my argument in 2007. Should we be doing this? Back then we decided we should. It's still an argument we have to decide here today. I mean, we can vote this up or vote it down. You vote it down and you have $1.2 million hanging out there. You leave the program working, they have $1.2 million to see if they can drag another $6 or $7 million into the state through this program. So it's a program that's completed the project that we put in front of them. They've done what we told them to do. Now they want to know if they can continue to do it. I think that they, since they've been successful along the lines that they've asked us, you know, the rules that they've asked us to develop for them, then they've proven themselves, and we might as well give them a shot at doing it again.
Senator Nicholas.
Chairman, couple concerns, and you know, folks, if what we're trying to do is create jobs in the state, you could go to any industry and say, if you come here, we'll pay your wages, and we'll pay you to operate business, and those wages will rotate in the community, and you'll get 3-to-1 add-on. And in fact, the government can employ everybody in the state, and all that will rotate 3 times, and apparently our growth will be magnificent when the government's out employing everybody. We know that doesn't work. Now, a couple things about this program. My recollection is when the program was brought to us, it was principally brought to us by tourism. And they were arguing that if we could bring in these major films and they could have the backdrop of the Tetons, backdrops of beautiful mountains, that is advertising that you can't buy. If you can get in a major film that promotes Wyoming, and it wasn't necessary, it wasn't put out as an incentive to bring people here to create the jobs, that was a secondary benefit. Its benefit was to promote Wyoming, to have beautiful landscapes, because otherwise we'd be out purchasing that advertising, and it's expensive. And this would be almost less expensive than purchase advertising. It's not panned out to do that. How many programs have you seen that have had that type of return to the state? If now the purpose of it is not to advertise Wyoming, to put the Tetons in the background, and all we're trying to do is create jobs, like I say, there's lots of industries you could go out and say, we'll just pay all your salaries, come on here and come to Wyoming. The other area that I have concern is, if you turn over to page 2 and you look at the language, you have two concepts that I think that are blurred. Now, I'm not 100% confident this. I need to check with our budget staff. But when you read the fiscal note, what they're looking for is an appropriation that does not revert. So the way our budgets work is you ask every 2 years for money, it goes into your budget, and if you don't expend it at the end of 2 years, it reverts to the general fund. And if you haven't spent it, then you have to come back and re-justify an appropriation and say, look, we know we didn't expend that money, but we'd like to have that money again. And you go through the budget process every 2 years. Every agency would love to say, well, give me a bunch of money, and if I don't spend it, I'll just continue to spend it indefinitely. In fact, if you do that, you can come in and say, I want some more money, and forget to remind people that you still have money in your pocket, but give me some more money, and you build and you build. That's not good budgetary process. Having said that, that's the explanation of what they're looking for, and that's not good budgeting practice. You should force agencies every 2 years to come in and justify what they had, what they needed, what they spent. The actual words in the bill have a different concept. If you look at lines 6 through 7, it says funds in the account are continuously appropriated to the board. A continuous appropriation is not something that typically prevents reversions. A continuous appropriation would be, so suppose you had a trust fund set up. Let's take, for example, the Wildlife Trust Fund. We can appropriate out of that and say, okay, the interest goes into an account, and every year you come in and say, I want $2 million, and maybe the income on that year is $3 million, but we only can appropriate $2 million. So we appropriate, authorize an appropriation from that. There's another concept that say we continuously appropriate, so all the revenues generated from that permanent fund are just continuously appropriated to an agency, so you don't even know what goes to the agency. All you know is that whatever income is generated is continuously appropriated to their budget to spend, and it's just an ongoing thing. Agencies like that too, because they get all this money that they don't have to go ask for, they don't have to account for, and they just spend. And we try to avoid that concept. It looks to me like that the terms have gotten mixed up. If you want to prevent a reversion, you actually say these dollars will not revert. If you want a continuous appropriation, you need to have a source from which they appropriate, and that is from a permanent fund. So it looks to me like we've mixed two different terms. Continuous appropriation, if the funds are in the account and they're appropriated to you, you don't need to continuously appropriate it. They just go to you. So I'll check on that, but it looks to me like the terms are mixed. But in any event, Continuous appropriations of something that you should be very cautious about putting in any act, because that means you don't get subsequent review of what's going and what's happening, and to prevent funds from reverting and allowing agencies to keep their monies if they don't spend it is bad practice as well.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know that I can disagree with anything anybody here has said. Starting with the most recent speaker, I think his point is well taken. I believe what is intended is that the money not revert, and that the appropriation continue to build up the fund in order to meet the goal that the good senator from Campbell County mentioned. Part of the problem is it's a small fund compared to most other states, and they want to be able to have enough money for a very large project. Now, to my bunkie here, and to my good friend from Star Valley, it is a good philosophical question as to whether you want the state to be involved in something like this. This is a debate we had when we first brought it out. It's probably a debate we should continue to have. It's a healthy debate to have. And I agree with them. Where I disagree with my friend here from Fremont County is the idea of using some article from the state of Wisconsin. The two largest industries in the state of Wyoming are minerals and tourism. And tourism is helped enormously, and there's no argument about this, by movies that are supposedly based in Wyoming, whether they're based in Wyoming or not. The movie referred to, Brokeback Mountain, brought millions of dollars into the state, which was great for everybody in Wyoming except for some very harassed sheep herders up in the Bighorns. They got over it. And comparing it to something, to a state like Wisconsin, makes no sense. People around the world do not go to the movies to see a Midwestern. They go to see a Western. Okay. And this is the cowboy state, and that is what our tourism is based on, is the fact we're West. Now, there's two parts to this bill. One is the continuous appropriation, and the wording might be incorrect, but the idea is for it not to revert in the continuation to the appropriation and the amount in there to be able to build up, to be able to match what other states do. If you don't like that, then don't vote for it. It does. The other thing it does is gets rid of the sunset. If you don't like that, don't vote for that either, or bring an amendment to get rid of one or the other. But the idea is to build tourism in the state of Wyoming, and I think it has succeeded in doing that. Again, and whether the films are made in Wyoming or not, unfortunately, it seems to me, a number of films that are supposedly based in Wyoming have been filmed in Alberta and British Columbia. We would like them to be filmed here in Wyoming. There is already, the program is in its infancy. Everything's got us, we all started as infants. There's already a program at two of the colleges. Up in Sheridan, there is we have a film festival every year of locally made films, of Wyoming made films. It's small. It's in its third year. Of course it's small. That happens. But more and more people are coming to Wyoming who have connections to the film industry. Now, this is something you can nip in the bud, or this is something you could pursue. I think it's to the benefit of the state of Wyoming to do it.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to add to the discussion from my two distinguished colleagues from the more mountainous region within the state. One of the things that concerns me about this is the assumption that all advertising that uses the word Wyoming is good for Wyoming. And when I look through a couple of the entities that are highlighted on here, I have had an opportunity to watch some of these things that did not reflect the state of Wyoming in a good light. And particularly when it comes to the issue of dealing with wolf reintroduction in the state of Wyoming. So I'm a little bit hesitant to say that just because it uses the term Wyoming and promotes Wyoming without some litmus test to determine whether that we're reimbursing somebody that's casting dispersions or reflecting the state of Wyoming in a negative light is a good thing for the state of Wyoming and expenditures of these funds. So I'm a little concerned just to throw a blank check out here and say, you know, come to Wyoming and create films without some point or some litmus test that says, is it good for the state of Wyoming? Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, that handout that was circulated, if I could direct everyone's attention to the bottom line of the program results, there's a number in there that says five completed FIFI projects. The second set of wording there, swift, silent, deep, if you could underline that, and when you get a minute, look that up on your computer. That's a film, it's a historical film, of a bunch of ski renegades, essentially, the Jackson Hole Air Force. And that film really gave that mountain range international exposure. I followed some of the talk on Facebook of people around the world that were waiting for that film to premiere in their towns. And I was amazed at how that little historical piece about this bunch of skiers has really moved around. I highlight that to say that if we look at just the dollars that are outlined, that's one number. But if we look at the word of mouth that goes around, in this case, about that Teton Range and Jackson Hole in the backcountry, but I'd suggest that that example and that film will do the same kind of things and can do, or films like it, can do the same kind of things for other beautiful places in our state. And that immediate return is one thing, but that long-term exposure to this amazing land we call Wyoming, whether it's Devil's Tower, wherever you want to look at it, our waterways, that really does bring people here, and they come to visit, and that's new money coming into the state. Most of them don't come to live. They come to visit, and they go home, and they talk about what they've discovered. And so it is important, and I think it is a great investment. It is a long-term investment, and we are competing for the tourist dollars, recognizing that the tourist dollar is a much more stable platform and a stable base for this state, and is very important at it. In it, I'd really encourage you, if you have doubts today, let it proceed today, and let's look at some amendments if we need to do some tweaking and tuning on it. But don't sell us short on exposing this state in a wonderful way. We have resources and natural treasures that are just waiting there to benefit these citizens and our citizens. Thank you.
Senator Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to echo his remarks. I'm a living example in our areas of what films can do. Devil's Tower was unheard of when Steven Spielberg came. Visitation was $150,000 or so. Peaked out at about $500,000. This has been a film effect. It's proven. It's black and white. It's been there for 30-plus years now. Still going on, and if you give this program a chance, there will be a time they're going to come back and look for more money. There'll be another major motion picture, a Shane, a Close Encounters, another one, and that level of exposure, when it comes, pays 30 years of the budgets at one time, and it pays it back year after year after year. Those, in conjunction with the other places in Wyoming, is what makes tourism the second biggest industry in the state. They all tie together, and these films really are looked at, even the small ones. But the big ones are going to come, and this puts us on the map. This money not only helps promote the films as far as being there, but these guys are actually out on the ground promoting those companies to come to Wyoming instead of British Columbia, to put Wyoming in the title on them. And from that end of it, I really feel like we're cutting ourselves short on this size appropriation, to not give this a chance to bloom and grow. Thank you.
Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, this summer I had the opportunity to attend some training, legislative training in another state, and while I was there I met with, there was a number of individuals from the state of New Mexico, And we talked about a number of issues regarding our different states, wind and other things. But one of the things we talked about, and I don't know exactly how we got on the subject, but we talked about film incentives. And there were, I think, three or four legislators from the state of New Mexico, and they had the same discussion a year ago. I think they spent $80 million in 2009 on film incentives. And according to, I took the good senator's advice and just quickly went and looked up state film incentives and with New Mexico and found an article. $80 million would have been in 2009. They figured in 2007 and 8 that there was approximately $230 million spent on films in Wyoming. New Mexico is the number three state and appears to be the number three state for filmmaking in the country, Albuquerque being the number one city for filmmaking in the country. And so anyway, talking with about this, because I remember our discussions about this, and they had the same discussion in Albuquerque a year ago about killing that program, and there was a bill that came out that would have killed it, and that bill failed, and so they're continuing to do that. But talking with that, I thought he would come back and tell me, when I talked to these legislators, we were just off the side, I thought he'd come back and tell me that now we don't get our money's worth out of it. Instead, he told me that the nearest he can figure, and what he's seen, is they think they get a 200-to-1 return on the film incentives. I don't know if that's true or not, but what I do know sometimes with advertising is if they get your name right, it ain't necessarily all bad. And people do come, regardless, because they're captivated by the story or by the people, and then once they come and you get them here, they tell their friends about it. So I don't know if that may be a useless factoid about my discussions, but folks that, by the way, in this one newspaper article here, it said that industry's now grown. They have 1,200 people in their film industry now that they believe are based in New Mexico. So about 1,200 people, actually, that they've grown that industry to where there's 1,200 people now employed consistently in New Mexico in the film industry. So I'll offer that. You can decide whether we want to go forward or backward, but there's some more useless factoids for you.
Senator Von Flager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Some more useless factoids for you. New Mexico, this came from one of your NCSL magazines, in case you happen to notice that. That comes in the mail to all of us. But New Mexico was one of the few states that could show a profit, about a buck and a half for every dollar they spent. So, and it's huge. And that's why I mentioned getting equipment from Albuquerque. It'd be one of the closest places you could bring equipment in. But I also want to show you that Bloomberg News, film credits have been lowered in Wisconsin, capped in Rhode Island, and along with Iowa, halted in Iowa, halted New Jersey, Kansas, and Arizona. So it is just not the great state of Wisconsin that has an issue with this. It seems to be going around the country, plus when we're competing with $80 million in incentives. And I'll bring you to the back page of the handout that came for Fifi. And under the Pilgrim Film and Television, his last comments there is, much of this decision is based upon the incentive program offered by each state. At this level, for what we're doing, it'll be 80 years before we have $80 million to compete with New Mexico and many other states. We're not doing it correctly. We need to build those 1,200 jobs. We need to have the programs in university or community colleges and create those jobs, so we can be a state where you don't have to transport everybody and everything into it, nullifying this small incentive we're giving you.
Question being called. Oops, Senator Case.
Chairman, you know, people can look around themselves. It is true there's multiple states. There are different studies. It doesn't seem to be overwhelming. I'm not even persuaded by the New Mexico example, where $80 million expenditures produced $230 in revenue. I mean, you know, you kind of want a little bit of bigger bang than that, I would suppose. I mean, if, for example, in our sales tax incentives, we think that we give up 3 or 4% for this proposal about locating a new facility in over the mountain, and then we're going to get all, you know, we're going to get the rather 97% back, and we're thinking that might be a good idea. Well, if there really is that cause and effect, that might be. But so many of the arguments made today are that, you know, we got to do this today because this fabulous movie about our wonderful Devil's Tower was filmed more than a decade ago. And that somehow that movie wouldn't have been filmed if we didn't have this. Of course, this program didn't exist and didn't have anything to do with the fact that that movie was filmed there. The one thing we can thank God for is that we all live in Wyoming. And Wyoming is ours. And I know they try to steal it, but they had to film it there if they wanted to have that beautiful panorama. Thank God that we've got it. It's a non sequitur. It doesn't necessarily follow that just because we do or do not have this program that we will have multiple films or zero films, depending. The cause and effect just doesn't necessarily seem to be there. And so I challenge you, you just keep throwing the money. And when it all comes down to it, show me in the Constitution of the state of Wyoming where expenditures like this are authorized. Where are we allowed to subsidize? Now, you might say, well, this is a contract for advertising services. Where are we allowed in this Constitution to have an incentive program of this kind? I challenge you to show me where we can do it.
Oh. Senator Scott, if anybody hasn't spoken on this bill.
I'm going to ask the real attorneys to assist here, but it is my understanding that whereas the federal government is a government of limited powers and you have to show an authorization in the Constitution, that that is not true of state governments, that the Constitution may contain limitations in what you can do in spending, as ours does in Article 16, Section 6, but that the states have general powers and do not have to show an authorization in their Constitution for getting into a specific item. And, Mr. Chairman, this has come up in this bill. It's come up on several. And I'm saying that's my understanding of it. You don't have to have a specific authorization. We often do. But my understanding is it's not needed. And I would sure appreciate if there is someone in the body that is more professionally knowledgeable of constitutional law who can tell me whether I'm right or wrong, because I'm not as sure of it as I might be.
Is there anyone who has not spoken on this bill? Question? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with the favorable recommendation of Senate File 41, say aye.
Aye.
Those who are opposed, say no.
No.
Chair is in doubt. Please, with all those in favor, please stand. All those who are opposed, please stand. Okay. Senate File 41 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Senator Rothfuss, would you like to come up and take the chair?
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Cooper. Committee of the Whole, the next bill for your consideration will be Senate File 43. Will the reading clerk please read in the bill?
Senate File 43, Title 19, Veterans Commission Duties and Act Relating to Military Affairs, sponsored by the Transportation Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cooper, Johnson, Landon, Nutting, and Schiffer. Senator Schiffer, Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, I move in the Committee of the Whole rise to report. It do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 43, Title 19, Veterans Commission Duties. Mr. Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment. I'd like to ask that it be read in at this time.
Senate File 43, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, lines 1 through 17.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the Standing Committee Amendment also, and I'll yield the floor to Senator Cooper to carry Senate File 43.
Thank you. Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is, as the chairman has mentioned, a Standing Committee Amendment. I'll deal with that later. I'd like to kind of go through the bill. And also, Mr. Chairman, there is a Committee of the Whole Amendment that I'll deal with at a later time. Senate File 43, members of the Senate, is a joint interim committee bill. The bill provides several changes to the Veterans Commission duties, along with codifying the existing practice with the commission. If we start and go down and start looking at the bill here, I'd like to go to section 19.14.110 on pages 1 and 2, which is a new section, which was established in order for the Wyoming National Guard to take over the responsibilities of the National Guard Museum here in Cheyenne. This museum is currently operated under the Military Department and is located in the old National Guard building, and also has a volunteer staff, which is assisted by the Veterans Memorial Director. On page 2, lines 1 through 17, a location description of the museum is given. This is also, as you'll see, a subject of one of the amendments that we'll do later, where it actually gives the address of the facility. On page 2, lines 23, 24, and page 3, lines 2 to 24, and also pages 4, lines 2 to 23, and page 5, lines 1 through 7, this is the bulk of the bill, and this is where it amends section 19.14.107 and adds several new duties and adds existing, and it also is codifying some existing and or current duties which are being performed by the Veterans Commission. If we go back to starting on page 3 again of the bill, we start with a new language on line 11. Section Romanette 5, which describes, as you'll see, several of the Commission's administrative duties. Then if we look at section Romanette 6, or VI, it talks about the oversight of the Veterans Cemetery and establishing a director and an advisory board for this is what we know here in Wyoming as the Oregon Trail State Veterans Cemetery. Moving on to section Romanette 7, this provides oversight for any veterans museums or national museums in the state, and this would be whether or not the current museums as well as any future ones. Going to page 4 at the top, we look at section Romanette 8, which provides personal services for veterans if they need some services on how to get the various benefits and everything that are available to them here in the state, and as well as federal benefits. Section 9, Romanette 9, has to do with assisting veterans with special license plates, provisions like providing eligibility certification for them, that having the ability to get the various license plates that are available to them here in the state. And section Romanette 10 deals with the Veterans Trust Fund. These funds come from the license plate sales and donations, and there's currently about $60,000 in this fund total. And then section Romanette 11 directs the commission to have an executive director and staff, and the current staff includes a director, assistant director, 5 veteran service officers throughout the state, a cemetery director, as I mentioned, for the Oregon Trail Cemetery, an assistant cemetery director, a museum director, and a curator. And these are supported currently by the Military Department, and this will fall completely under the Veterans Commission. Also, the Standing Committee Amendment we have that deals with this part also, and it adds a section to this to this section, as you'll see, a sentence to this section. On page 5, section Romanette 12 directs the commission to do any other task the legislature requires, which is pretty good. All we have to do is direct them now. Section 3 on page 5 is actually just an LSO renumbering of the statutes in order to place the veterans museums under the same group of statutes, and it's just a kind of a grouping of the statutes as they thought was necessary. And that's because the current statute changes it to 1914-110, and then the Natrona Museum will be under 1914-111, which will just be put them together in the statutes, is all that does. Section 4 and 5 just deals with the fact that they would like to do this just as soon as it's possible. If it passes through the legislature, to get the governor's signature on it, because these are all most existing duties and all the things that they're doing currently anyway. Well, Mr. Chairman, this pretty much takes care of the bill, except for the fiscal note, which I'll deal with here after we look at the amendments. So I'd like to deal with the amendments now, Mr. Chairman. And if we look at the Standing Committee amendment, as soon as I find it in my pile. Yeah, I have it. Oh, thank you. Look at my file. This, as you see, deals on page 4 in line 22. And after the word appropriate, it inserts any appointment shall be made with the approval of the Adjutant General and Governor and shall be subject to the removal authority provided in WS-91202. And this is pretty common language in any kind of appointment that is being made for a member of the executive branch, and we thought that that was necessary. We should have that in there. And then also on page 5, line 6, we delete as our beneficial to Wyoming veterans. We didn't think we needed to have that in there because it's just extra language that's pretty obvious from the bill that we're providing some benefit to veterans. Mr. Chairman, then I'll stand for questions, but if there isn't any, I'd like to call for the question on the Standing Committee amendment.
All right. Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question on the amendment and see if I understand it correctly, that we are, the state of Wyoming then, is deeding this land in Laramie County to the military department, to the National Guard. Is that what we're doing with this amendment?
Mr. Chairman, no.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What we're doing here to the good senator from Campbell County, it's actually currently under, let me back up a little bit. It was actually an old National Guard facility that was owned and operated by the National Guard and is owned by the state. And they just allowed the museum to use that. And the military department has been running the museum there already at this facility. All they're doing is transferring it over to the commission. So the facility is already owned currently by the state.
Thank you. Further discussion, Senator Nicholas.
I apologize. You may have answered this question, but is when I see these, we have some other military museums and a veterans museum in Casper, and they've been a source of a lot of funds going into them. I guess the question is, as a state resource, how many of these are we going to pay for? If it's in the military department, I guess the question is who's paying for it now? If the military department has it and they have a budget for it, what is that budget? And let's move that budget from the military department into the state or to the veterans. If they're presently funding it on the federal side of their mission with federal dollars, we should know that because we're moving a museum that's federally funded, putting it on our state budget. So those are some questions I think we ought need to have answered before we begin to accept another one more museum with one more expense That's question one. But the other concern I have with the Veterans Commission, this is a commission that has grown very significantly since over the last 4 or 5 years with justifications. We do have more of our military people, men and women, being called up, and we do have added obligations. But it looks to me like the duties that are being added to here will, in fact, add significantly to the duties of the Veterans Commission. And it looks to me like what will happen in the next budget cycle is that they'll come back and say, now 8 employees doesn't do it. We're going to need 10 employees and more appropriations. It looks to me like on the fiscal note that the fiscal note was sent on to the military department for an assessment of the cost. I don't see a fiscal note prepared by the military department. Did we return a new fiscal note for these added duties so we know what the exact cost is of increasing these duties?
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, I guess first of all, did you get a message that appropriations was supposed to meet at quarter after three down in the basement of this building? Or I just want to make sure they go the right place is all I'm...
Check the messages. Thank you, Senator.
Would you check messages, please, Mr. Chairman, and interrupt me at any time. Mr. Chairman, to answer a couple questions, first of all, and we are on the amendment, the Standing Committee Amendment. The legal description in there from my colleague from Campbell County, it authorizes them to manage that museum. It's not, we're not ceding, conveying title or anything. That is an old National Guard. What this does, and the key words are on line 7 of the Standing Committee Amendment, authorizing them to manage that museum. In terms of the fiscal note, and we did pass that out. I think everyone's got a copy of it. That's prepared by the military department, and we visited quite a bit about this fiscal note. What it amounts to, you'll see. The numbers are all there, is that within the budget of the military department, they're going to handle these additional duties that we're placing on the Veterans Commission. We'll go from 4 duties up to 12. Will they be back asking for more money to accomplish this? My understanding is, in the supplemental budget, they asked for some additional employees specifically to be out in the field helping veterans sign up for their benefits and to take care of the paperwork and make sure they knew where to go to get help. And really that's in what that was, that's in response to page 4, lines 1 through 6, to help veterans gain access to the assistance they need. That's what that was for. I believe that was turned down, and the world didn't stop spinning, and the sun still rose, mostly in the east, I think. Anytime that you task an agency with additional duties, many of which they're already doing now, the odds are very good that in the next biennium they're going to be in asking for more money. The fiscal notes you see in front of you are what they've determined are the costs of these additional duties. Let me stress, however, many of these things that we're putting into statute, they are already doing now. In other words, I'm suggesting that, and I'm not sure how much they'll ask for in the next biennium, but I do not believe it will be the whole amount. If you look at what the Veterans Commission is doing today on the budget they have for this biennium, we'll walk through the new duties that we're talking about giving to them. On page 3, line 11, distribute information and printed material. They're already doing that today in the current budget. It's nothing new. It's no new duty. They're doing a good job of it, actually. Remember, Mr. Chairman, that we just came off the largest deployment from the Guard in this state. We've got lots of veterans out there that are entitled to it. They're getting the information they need. Going on down, again on page 3, the operation of the Veterans Cemetery, they're already doing that. It's up in Casper, and they're taking care of that right now. They have been for many years. Some years ago, this legislature appropriated some money to do some building and, I believe, some landscaping up there. It's already been done. It's in place, and people are using it. The Memorial Museum and the Guard Museum, they're already doing those right now, one up in Casper and one down here in Cheyenne. They're already doing that. This is nothing new for the Veterans Commission. On the top of page 4, subparagraph 8, assistance to Wyoming veterans in filing and processing their veterans claims, health care benefits, and disability claims. They're already doing that now. They would like to expand that, I believe primarily because the numbers of returnees that we've got in this state. In other words, obviously, with a very large deployment, the demand goes up. Let me also point out that although there was a lot of publicity in terms of the artillery units that went over, but even as we speak, we have units deployed to both Iraq and Afghanistan. Charlie Med, I believe, deployed Wednesday of last week. I think some of those guys, their deployment, this has got to be their fourth or fifth tour over there. They're 14-month tours. Fourth tour over there, is that right? I'm getting 4. And they rotate them in and out. It's a helicopter medevac and gunship unit, I think. But they're going over all the time. All the time. One unit comes back, they scrub them all up and send them back over. We've got units deployed there now. It's nothing new, and it's going to continue, at least in the foreseeable future. So we're not adding to what they would like more resources in this area. They were turned down. The Transportation and Military Affairs Committee elected not to put an appropriation in this bill. Asking again, it had already been decided, what's done is done. Administer, and again, Mr. Chairman, I'm on page 4, line 8, administer vehicle licensing, they're already doing that now. They're the ones that check if you want to get one of those specialty licenses. They're the folks that can look up, I forget what it is, DD Form 106-B1X, and they'll look it up for you and put the big stamp on it, and it'll be all copacetti. On page 4, line 12, the Veterans Commission Expendable Trust Fund, they already administer that now. No new duties. We're putting it in the statute what they're doing. We are formalizing, I'm on page 4, line 17, we are formalizing the executive director of the commission. The executive director is already employed. He's here. We saw him in all his radiant beauty the other day. The position isn't new, but we're establishing it in statute. We went one step further in saying, who's he answerable to? Well, he's answerable to the general and to the governor. So we put that in place in statute, It's just good management. That's all it is. It should be in statute. And the final number 12 that we're tasking them with performing such other duties as the legislature may direct. Pretty standard boilerplate language. Nothing new there. We've asked them to do many things, and we'll ask them to do other things in the future, and that's all this does is put it in statute. I'm not going to represent to you. They may be in asking for money in the next biennium, but let me also suggest to you that most other agencies will be in asking for more money in the next biennium. I don't think that should surprise any of us. I think they have been up front trying to delineate what the costs are. They're in their budget. Their fiscal person, I think, did a good job letting you know the efforts that the commission is doing on behalf of your veterans here in Wyoming. And I think we should be congratulating them. If they come in and ask for money, they'll go to the appropriate committee and let the dollars fall where they may. But I think we can take pride in this state that we try and take care of our veterans. And we reach out to them. I think you're going to find some other states that can't do that. I know I personally am very proud of how we take care of our own, and this is part of that effort, Mr. Chairman. I urge you to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment and would call for the question.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Schiffer. Question has been called. The question is on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. All those in favor of Senator Schiffer's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 43, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Amendment has been carried. Senator Cooper.
There is a Committee of the Whole amendment, and I'd like you to call on Senator Johnson for an explanation of that amendment.
Thank you, Senator Cooper. Will the reading clerk read in the amendment?
Senate File 43, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 1.
Thank you. Senator Johnson.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 43. I'm very happy that you passed the previous Standing Committee amendment because the first part of my amendment amends lines 4 through 17 there. When we were looking at the bill and I looked there and I saw this massive land description, the surveyor's delight, I said, why don't you just put down the address? And I was told, well, we can include that in there, but they also like the surveyor's land description of it. So what mine does is includes into that commonly known as 624 East Pershing Boulevard, Cheyenne, Wyoming, which made there's no doubt in anybody's mind now where it is. You can drive by it. Then the Veterans Commission asked if I would, in two other areas, add pension claims because they are not currently listed there, and we wanted to make sure that those who are helping the veterans are able to do that also. We just wanted to make sure it was inclusive. And to add to something that our fearless chairman said, we have the Wyoming Air National Guard and we have the Wyoming Army National Guard, but talk to our recruiters in Wyoming. And we have a lot of sailors, Marines, and airmen coming home from the regular military services that these people are helping in the Veterans Commission. We're doing our duty in this state, and they're coming home. So with that, I would answer any questions on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1.
Thank you, Senator. Questions on actually Committee of the Whole.
Committee of the Whole.
Amendment Number 1. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to divide this amendment. The first division would be through line 7, and the second division would be the remainder of that. I guess speak toward the first division, and I'm questioning whether or not it's prudent to put a
Not yet. One second. All right. I'll rule it's divisible. Back to you, Senator Meyer. Division 1 is lines, our lines, 1 through 7. Division 2 will be lines 8 through 12. Thank you. Back to you, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, a question of whether or not we need to actually put the address in statute. This is the first time I can recall we actually have put an address in statute. And so I would just have a few questions and maybe some discussion on that.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. Discussion on Division 1 of Committee of the Whole, Amendment 1. Senator Johnson.
I was told that putting the address in would be sufficient in itself, but they asked just to make sure could we have both. And I really don't think it's anything critical or something that we should worry about. I see in the newspapers every day on house foreclosures where they do have the legal description of the property, also known as 5300 First Street. And that just ensures that you know what it is. There's no doubt in anybody's mind. So I would ask that you vote in favor of Division Number 1.
Thank you. Further discussion on Division 1 of Committee of the Whole, Amendment 1. Question has been called. All those in favor of Senator Johnson's motion to adopt the Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, Division 1, to Senate File 43, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no?
No.
Motion carries. Moving on to Division Number 2 of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. Is there any discussion?
Question
having been called. All those in favor of Senator Johnson's motion to adopt Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, Division 2, to Senate File 43, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion has carried. We're back on the bill. Senator Burns.
On or against the bill, not for or against the bill. I'm just kind of curious. The Veterans Commission and the employees thereof already do a number of these things, keep veterans informed as to what their rights are and so forth. So so I understand what this bill is doing. I guess I have two questions. One is, there's going to be from this bill a new museum. Am I clear on that? And are we authorizing the creation of a new museum with this bill? Because that really wasn't clear to me. And the other question I have is, I'm friends with one of the congressional representatives who has field office up by my way up in the northern part of the state. And a lot of their duty involves this same thing, of veterans getting hold of them, finding out what their rights are and where they can get help from the federal government and so forth. And so I'm kind of curious as to where one duty ends and the other duty begins, or is it an overlapping duty of both the Veterans Affairs Commission and the field reps for our congressional delegation? Is there an overlapping information there? So two questions.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll take a stab at the questions from the senator from the north. First of all, the museum here in Cheyenne already exists, and it's being operated by volunteers. The museum staff from up in the center part of the state at the other facility, I understand, does come down and give some oversight, some guidance, but that's staffed only by volunteers. As to the overlap, I think that's absolutely the case. I do think that our congressional delegation takes as good a care of the veterans as they can, And I have understood from the staff in the Veterans Office that they do work closely with our representative back in Washington. So I do think there's some overlap. I think that the Veterans Office does what it can as well. So,
Senator Burns.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, I'll cede to the JAC chair because I think he's going to make the same point.
Thank you. Senator Nicholas.
Chairman, it's never good to argue against the military or a former appropriations chairman. There is a fiscal note, and I just reading through it, the fiscal note provides that there's an expansion of duties, and in the fiscal impact by the Veterans Commission, the military department, is that this will cost $2.2 million over in the course of the next biennium, so $1.1 million per year. Now, I agree that there are times where we do expand scope of authority for agencies, and we simply say you're not going to get a larger appropriation, and you need to live with the appropriation you have. But in this case, the intent is to expand the scope, bring in the museum, and it is the intent to increase the budget by $1.1 million per year. And this is a budget that has been increasing each year. We've been very generous to the military department. You'd be hard-placed to say we're not. If you take a look at our budget over the last 6 years, we've steadily increased that budget. But this is quite a significant leap, and, you know, typically we require the appropriations to go with the bill so you know what you're voting for. There's nothing that says you cannot strip the appropriation to avoid having that scrutiny, but it's the agency believes that by accepting this new obligation, they'll have contract support services, which I assume are to run the museum, of $600,000. There will be contract services, additional those, all totaling $1.1 million per year. And make no bones about it, when you increase these services and these duties and you move that museum over, and it apparently says that presently it is being funded by federal dollars, so you move it from there, put it in state dollars. Presumably it's our intent to manage it and do a good job, and we'll be spending $2.2 million a biennium. And it's hard to say no to the military, I know, but all government expands, and this is the way government expands. You say, well, I don't have to worry about the cost of it. We'll just tell you to do more work, and we'll cover it later.
Thank you, Senator Nicholas. Any further discussion before the question? Senator Burns.
On the Veterans Museum that's currently on Pershing, that's there. If memory serves on that, can somebody help me out with this? I don't think the legislature ever authorized that museum in the first place. I think it was started by the military department. If it was started by the legislature, would somebody let me know when that was? If I'm not mistaken, so basically, have the military department started a museum, and now they want the legislature to start appropriating funds to manage it after a couple of years.
Thank you, Senator Burns. Senator Schiffer.
Well, Mr. Chairman, thank you, I think. First of all, I want to take the questions in order. In terms of the fiscal impact, I'll try and run down through those. 2012, the $82,000, I believe that position is a curator for the museum with benefits. I think that's what that is. I'm just reading this, trying to understand it. Contractual services, those are the folks that are scattered statewide that go and visit with veterans, particularly, and understand a little bit of how this works. A unit deploys. When they come back, they get a part of the debriefing is understanding what their benefits are, how to access them, all those kind of things. I believe it's 30 days after that, the unit gets another debriefing going over the same thing, answering questions, making sure everybody's on track. If I recall, there's another one. I think it's 150 days. And don't hold me too close to how many days, but it's some. In other words, it's follow-up all the way along. The second thing is that those folks, I'm trying to think of, there's all sorts of things that can happen. And I'm just going to make one up, for example, that I know about. When a military person is deployed, there's a law against foreclosing on their home. Can't do that. If that should happen, then that's when your veteran consultant, your contract employee can go in and go down to the financial institution and say, "Nope, can't do that, folks. You got to wait till that man or woman gets home, then we'll talk about it." If a veteran is trying to get in, for example, under the GI Bill, many of them will be eligible for that benefit, the education benefit. They're having trouble accessing it. Say they want to go to, I don't know, Casper College, and they say, "I'd like to take advantage of it." These are the folks that help them get into the programs that they are entitled to. That's the contract amount, the 0900. Those are all, I believe all of those are contract employees. Support services, that's the expense, obviously, of when you do these contracts and have an employee. We all know you've got to pay, you've got to have vehicles and all that stuff. So that's kind of the breakdown on this. Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to represent to you that this agency will not be in requesting additional funds to implement what's in this bill in the next biennium. We've all been around here long enough to know that's how it works. To codify the duties, which is all the bill does not mean they're going to get the appropriation. It means we're going to put it in statute what they should be doing. How they do it, whether they get a little lean on resources, that's the nature of funding agencies in the government. Sometimes things are pretty flush, and sometimes they're pretty lean, and these folks have to figure out how to deliver. In terms of the museum, so your question was, did we ever authorize the museum? No, actually, this authorizes the museum. That's what this statute does. It says we're going to have a museum for the guard. Has it been around? It's been around a long time. I don't know how long. I can tell you I did look at some of the displays. Some of them go clear back to, they've got some uniforms in there. Well, actually, they took the uniforms out of there, put them up in the new building, going back to, I believe, it might have been, now let's see, the one before World War I was the Spanish-American. I think they've got a uniform from there. And then succeeding uniforms all, you know, and actually, they are actual museums, and they know who they belong to. I mean, you can read the little plaque. It belonged to so-and-so, and who wore this guard uniform proudly in whatever conflict it is. I think it's kind of neat. I urge you to go up and see it. You know, it's a neat deal. It really is. And admission's free. If it isn't free, for Appropriations Committee members, we'll only charge them double because it'll just be a break-even that way, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Schiffer. Question has been called. All those in favor of Senator Schiffer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 43, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Senate File has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File... Mr. Majority, Floor Leader. Oh, my apologies. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
Thank you. You have heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried.
Reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. Senate File 92, do pass amended. Senate File 101, do pass amended. Senate File 3, do pass amended. Senate File 14, do pass. Senate File 29, do pass amended. Senate File 31, do pass. Senate File 41, do pass. And Senate File 43, do pass amended. Oh, Senate File 27 instead of 29, which did pass amended. Senator Rothfuss, Chairman.
Senator Rothfuss. You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Motion carried. That report has been adopted. We have some reports from standing committees.
January the 19th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 9, Mineral Business and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate Joint Resolution 6 reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cole, Cooper, and Jennings. No, Senator Rothfuss, Senator Bebout, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the floor. Clears the deck.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate be adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, January 20th.
Thank you. Are there any announcements, Senator Geis?
From your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources, will meet tomorrow night upon adjournment, and we'll take up Senate File 65, Animal Remedies, Senate File 81, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, Senate File 78, Temporary Interim Flow, and Senate File 111, Game Animal Damages.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, will meet again on Friday, January the 21st at 8 a.m. in Room S1 to take up the following bills. Senate File 67, Guardianship and Ward Sealed Records. Senate File 68, Summary Probate Amendments. Senate Joint Resolution 5, we're most of the way through the testimony on defensive marriage constitutional amendment. We'll finish up the testimony on that and then work and vote on the bill, hopefully. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Schiffer.
About 10 minutes up in S-14 and take up Senate File 72, Fair Practices of Equipment Act Amendment, and Senate File 112, National Guard Billeted Soldiers Fund.
Thank you. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, will meet Friday the 21st in S-18, 15 minutes after noon recess, to discuss Senate File 116, Oil and Gas Enhanced Recovery Microbial Conversion.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. The
If there's any money left after the Transportation Committee meets, whatever's left, we'll meet tomorrow to mark up the budget. The JAC is going to meet after we finish up here to finish up with ANI capital construction budget. Then we're going to hear from corrections, and that'll finish up our testimony. Tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock or 8:30, we're going to begin the markup process. We hope to finish markup by tomorrow, Friday morning at the latest, to bring you all a budget.
Thank you. Senator Burns?
Mr. President, your committee number 6, Tribal Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, as I announced just before lunch, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. up in S-14. Before 8, we'll clean up after the Transportation Committee's meeting there tonight. And then we will discuss Senate File 62, Large Project Funding, Senate File 39, Aquatic Invasive Species Reciprocity, Senate File 79, Recreation Safety Act Waiver on behalf of Minors, and Senate File 63, Game and Fish Donation of Hunting Licenses.
Thank you. Senator Hines.
President, your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet tomorrow, January 20th, 15 minutes after the noon recess in our room S-16 to take up Senate File 86, Agriculture Fuel Tax Exemption, Senate File 99, Sales Tax on Certain Food Items, and Senate File 108, Remote Electronic Terminal Fees 2.
Other announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 212, Rules, will meet tomorrow morning in S-5 to consider the following Senate files: Revisers Bill, Senate File 69, and Senate File 95, Legislative Committee Membership. That's at 8 a.m.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Seeing no other announcements, you have heard the motion. The Senate shall stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, January 20th. Senate is adjourned.